Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If you need to find your strengths and purpose, if you want to create the results you want in your life, then meet today's guest, Brad Harker. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce on the show today, Brad Harker. Now, Brad is a speaker, he's an influence expert, and he's the author of the book, The Laws of Influence, Mastering the Art of Sales, Leadership, and Change. And the really cool thing about Brad is that his passion is problem solving. Welcome to the show, Brad.
Thanks, Lynette. It's great to be here.
Now, you know that we start our show with a meaningful passage. Did you bring something to share for our listeners today?
I did. This is hard. It's hard to reduce yourself to one quote for a podcast, but the one that I found is, it's actually from Oprah, and it says, "There's no greater gift you can give or receive than to honor your calling. It's why you were born and how you become most truly alive."
That's awesome. How do you connect to that?
I think my entire life has been a quest to find my purpose and to come into alignment with where I can make the greatest contribution. And I've done so many things throughout my career, so many jobs that I thought seemed lucrative or seemed like other people had been successful, to find that it wasn't the same for me. It just was flat. It was unsuccessful. A lot of times it brought failure. And it's interesting. I think so many people live in that same mode where we just try to be safe and just try to survive and get by. And we never really have that opportunity to experience what ultimately gives us that passion and really brings us to life. And so my life is the quest to live that quote and to really find where I can create the greatest contribution.
So, I mean, if we look at it, like, we know that life is a process. So if you look at all those dots and connect them, how do you think they built to who your character is now, though? You know, as far as reaching or achieving what you believe right now is your life purpose.
You know, it's funny. I've definitely felt a lot of adversity along the way. And a quote that always rings true to me is, "There's no failure, only feedback." And so I love that metaphor that you just gave. And I think about my life a lot of times as this long movie. And I see what the end looks like, and I'm somewhere in the middle of the plot right now, and I'm looking at all those pivotal moments, the good and the bad, and the not so, the really, really bad. And I see how those are defining moments, even when they seemed like they had completely destroyed my future, my possibilities, the things I wanted most, my optimism. I see in retrospect the value, the clarifying value of every experience, good and bad, that we go through, to help us. I mean, life is, honestly, it's trying to communicate to us. It's trying to help us see where we can create that value around us. And when you put it together and you really have that retrospective look at your life to this point, it's amazing how much you can learn and glean from it to have a little bit more direction and focus of what is going to make you ultimately happy.
Oh, I totally agree with you. And I have two things to say. Number one, see, you were able to talk about more than one quote that defines you. So feel free to keep them coming.
Okay.
And number two, can you give us a specific example or of an experience or a time that you felt what you were just talking about?
Yeah, I think this is probably a great segue into kind of where I came from, where it began for me. I've always been incredibly ambitious, and I've always felt that I have just I can't wait. I have no patience at all. But I have had so much adversity in my life as I've gone through it, and when I was really young, in my teenage years, I saw that the ability to communicate and the ability to reach and resonate with people was a powerful skill. I wanted to master the art of communication when I was in like a 15-year-old. I don't know why or how that, where that came from, but that was one of my big ambitions. And I I was really thirsty. I was really, I craved any opportunity to learn how to become more successful. I read books like Think and Grow Rich when I was a teenager. I was just on this quest to figure out how to get past this adversity in my life and do something and have the freedom to be who I wanted to be. And so I ended up forging a trail my whole life. I never found a mentor. I wanted a mentor in my life so bad, somebody that would take me under their wing and show me, you know, the ropes, groom me into that great position, that great opportunity. I never found that person. And so I just made my life my laboratory. And I just went out there and I figured, I have a desire to give back to people. I have a desire to teach and to coach and to mentor. And I need to look at my life as a proving ground, as a laboratory, to go out there and push the limits and figure out what actually facilitates success. What is it that's going to give me that freedom to do what I want and to be successful doing it? And that's exactly, that was my focus. The money was a byproduct. The opportunities, the experiences that I had were all just byproducts of my quest to figure it out. And it's interesting. By the time I was 35, I'd sold over $250 million worth of various products and services. I'd been part of a number of different companies. And I finally felt like I was equipped. I was prepared to start giving back, to start sharing some of the powerful lessons, the experiences that I had gained along the way to help other people kind of break out of that rut, to break out of the conformity that kept catching me along the way.
You know, something that really just grabbed me that you said is the fact that you just could never find a mentor that kind of worked for you. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way. You know, it was never a comfortable fit with any of the people in my life that could possibly mentor me. I don't know. Same thing that you're saying. However, yet, you know, you kind of grew up to be that mentor for other people. And maybe that's why you, and maybe the same for me. You know, maybe that's why we didn't have those mentors, because it just makes us value that relationship even more.
As much as I would have never said it in any one of those painful moments of experience, I am so grateful for the adversity that I've had in my life, because, you know, sometimes I think if I had had that mentor, I would have missed out on a key lesson that I don't, maybe I haven't even used yet, but I may need that in 5 years from now. And it may be that one thing that helps me create that value for somebody else. What's crazy is I've always felt like I have an easier time helping other people become successful. And when I try and do it for myself, it just doesn't work the same. You're exactly right. That adversity and the good too. I mean, the good things that we've accomplished, there is so much value in the lessons that come from that. They can feed us for the rest of our lives.
But see, that's exactly why people need coaches and mentors. You're not supposed to be able to see it for yourself, right?
That's like, so true.
Yeah, we can't see, you know, how they say the forest from the trees. But so the thing is, you're not supposed to be able to see it. You're supposed to just experience it, I guess.
Right, right, right. That's a huge part of it, is being able to step outside of the emotional connection to it and objectively sometimes look at it. And that's why it is so much easier to help other people, because you're not personally invested necessarily. And it's amazing when we think logically how sometimes that solution is right there. It's in the form of just a great question that we forgot to ask because we're so overwhelmed or so mired by the details, the trees.
You know, every good coach or mentor is not attached to the outcomes. We have to have an emotional detachment from what our mentees are going through, because it's not our job to tell them what to do. It's our job to help them create a plan for themselves that they buy into and want to accomplish. So not being emotionally attached like that is probably the best thing you can do for the people you work with.
Yeah, very true.
So, okay, you were a problem solver. You were driven to understand people and communication. And then you went into sales. Mm-hmm. And then so what do you think your goal right now is? You help people discover...
I help people discover the influence that they have, that they possess naturally. See, I think that everybody, another quote, Mark Twain, he said, the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you find out why. And along that, I feel like everybody has a unique set of gifts and talents, and that a unique disposition that is theirs and theirs alone. And our purpose in life is to come into alignment with that, to embrace that, not to push it away, but to find out what's authentic, what's great about us, and leverage that. And I add principles of influence. I teach people how to find their purpose and align with that purpose and leverage the natural talents and gifts that they have to create the results that they want in their life. And that involves a lot of things. That involves their purpose. It involves their ability to communicate. Even if they're introverted, it's their ability to interact. It's the initiative they take, and it's the way that they deal with adversity. And that's really what my book lays out, is the laws of influence. It's the things that any person can add to their unique style, leverage that, magnify that, amplify that into something fantastic, and then go for it. And understand how to deal with the adversity. It's not like your life changes all of a sudden, but you are so much more empowered to do great things when you understand where you're going, why you're going there, and what the tools are, even the weaknesses that you have, and how to, you know, minimize those so that they don't beset you in the way that they have in the past. Influence, to me, is that ability to really amplify who we are and help people go and seize what it is that they need to seize in their life to find their purpose.
You know, you went from sales into what you're doing now, which, I mean, I love everything that you just said. It's a big leap, but at the same time, you know, with sales, you are communicating with people, you are using your intuition, you're, when I say manipulating, I don't mean in a negative way, but you're kind of molding. So I can see that this could be a natural progression for somebody who has kind of gained awareness and raised their consciousness about what life is about, and you obviously have. What kind of challenges, though, did you have making that transition?
So before I answer that question, I want to speak to your comment real quick, and then I want to come back to that question again as far as the challenges. But as far as the sales distinction, that's a really interesting discussion. This is crazy. I probably shouldn't even say this out loud, but I never really considered myself to be a natural born salesman. I just saw how powerful the skill set was. And I knew that I was hungry for results. And so I basically adapted. I was a basket case when I sold. But I needed to figure out how that worked. And I think that everybody, one of my premises is that everything we do, regardless of our profession, is a function of selling. We are always selling our ideas, who we are, even selling ourselves every morning when we wake up and look in the mirror. I see sales everywhere, that constant exchange that we go through. And so I make sure that my style of selling isn't the salesmanship that I think most people naturally think of. I see it as just the natural influence in the exchanges. It's how to facilitate that exchange that we experience every day, even if it's just with yourself. And so I've definitely been in a lot of sales capacities, more as a student than as somebody that just loves selling. And I know that's, again, that's really interesting to say, but it's a really powerful skill that I think we all need, to the extent that we may never sell an actual product or service, but we'll always be influencing those around us. And that was really always my passion for selling, was understanding that ability to connect, create rapport with people, and exchange something.
Well, everything is about persuasion.
Yeah.
I mean, you could be persuading your child to eat their food. You could be persuading yourself to eat healthy today. You know, you could be persuading your mother to go to the doctor. I mean, because I'm also a writer, and I'm a motivator, right? So you're a motivator. That's your job. You're a coach, you're a mentor, you're motivating people, you're inspiring people. So when you do that, there is a level of persuasion, if not in anything except for the tone of your voice.
So true. I mean, I just taught, I teach a sales course at university. And even today I was talking to them about the fact that I'm selling them on principles of influence and salesmanship, but I'm also selling them on the value of education. And I'm selling them on, you know, my worth as a speaker. You're just like you said, everywhere we go, we are persuading people to something, to believe something, to accept something. So I see that as just a powerful skill that everybody needs.
I agree wholeheartedly. I agree about that. So did you have challenges when you made this kind of transition? It sounds like you melded your two worlds.
I did meld my two worlds. The greatest challenge is making the transition. The greatest challenge, Guy Kawasaki said it in Art of the Start, the hardest part of getting started is getting started, or something along those lines. You know, sometimes it's just it's taking that leap of faith. And as an entrepreneur, we make leaps of faith every day, all the time. I mean, that's just part of it, is we've got to constantly push those boundaries and step into unknown, uncharted territory. And that's where we find our opportunity. That's where we find, you know, the things that are going to truly create our futures. And that is hard to do for everybody. And regardless of how many times you've stepped into the dark, it will never not be hard. And one of the big challenges that I've always faced in my career has been myself. And by that, I mean, I spent so long into my career really not understanding who I was, what some of my weaknesses were, what some of my strengths were. And I allowed my experiences, the feedback I was getting from life, to allow me to draw conclusions about certain skills and weaknesses that I had. Now, for example, I'm a creator. I'm the guy that likes to put the deals together, organize the people, get everybody excited, introduce the frameworks. And I need to be the guy that delegates some of the long-term processing and the, you know, the editing of the podcast afterwards. I need to be the guy that I need to delegate those tasks. And I didn't know that. And so I entertained a lot of jobs. A big part of my career as an executive was trying to fit in that mold. And that was never me. And it was a disaster. And I took meaning from that as though I wasn't capable of doing something I wanted to do. And it wasn't until I really explored who I was as a person where I realized, and I was incredibly vindicated by the fact that I was focusing on strengths that weren't my greatest strengths. Those were some of my weaknesses. And so one of my biggest setbacks, my biggest hurdles, has been understanding me and where I should focus my time and my effort.
I know they probably feel like setbacks and hurdles, but it sounds more like lessons and learning and life and the journey, and that you were exactly where you were supposed to be doing exactly what you were supposed to be doing, so that you would be doing what you're doing right now.
Exactly.
And what you're supposed to do 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now.
Amen.
It's a painful process, right? And it's hard, like you said, when it's you. I have a few years on you, hopefully not too many, but probably. And, you know, even just 2 years ago, where I was in this process and my level of awareness and my consciousness about everything was just so different than I am today. And you are leaps and bounds ahead of where I was at your age. So you're going to be kicking butt. It's all coming and more. I'm not saying you're not kicking butt now, but I'm saying you're just going to have like this sense of knowing about everything that you just talked about, because I still hear in your tone, I still hear a little bit of angst about, why'd I have to go through it? But it's all good. It's all, even if it was hard, it's all good.
No, like I said earlier, you know, there's no failure, only feedback. I have learned to embrace. It's often painful, right? But I've absolutely learned to appreciate, love, and embrace the adversity in my life. It's been the greatest teacher I've ever had.
So if I asked you what you learned about yourself, because that would be my next question, is that what you would say?
That would be one of my answers. The other answer that I would add to that, one of the big things I've learned, is what the actual medium of exchange is. And, you know, I think a lot of us, we begin our careers and we see it in terms of dollar signs and bills, you know, and some of the ways that we've become accustomed to measure success. And, you know, you look at business owners and you see companies that are upsizing, you see companies that are downsizing, and it seems like everything's about profitability, right? And it's about revenue. And I think that's one of the biggest misunderstandings in our experience. And I think what we all need to focus on instead is value. Look at your business and look at your life right now and say, where am I creating value for other people? Maybe that's with respect to your spouse or your family. How do they see when I interact with my family, what is actually valuable to them? And where are they seeing that value? Or if I'm at work, what is my employer, what is my company seeing as the value that I create? What is my customers, what's valuable to them? And rather than focusing on how to increase your profit margins, focus on how to increase value. If you want to have a better relationship with your spouse, how can I create more value for her or him? And if you want to create a greater market share, what else can I do to create more value for my market? And it's such a different way of looking at things, but the byproduct of creating a lot of value is power, is wealth, is money, is enjoyment, peace of mind. All those things are byproducts of the value that we create. And I think a big, big transformation for me was realizing that I need to focus on the areas in my life where I can create the most value, and the rest will take care of itself, because that's where I make the greatest contribution. That's where I'm of greatest benefit to the people that I'm intending to serve.
Right. Law of attraction.
Yep.
I agree with that. And you, Mr., sound extremely well-read, so I'm assuming you have a good book that you could recommend to my audience here.
Yeah, I'm going to go super old school. And what's ironic is that you just mentioned The Secret. The book that inspired The Secret, The Law of Attraction, I guess you said The Law of Attraction, the book that really inspired that wasn't The Secret. It was a book called The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. It was written a really, really long time ago. It's, I think, 95 pages. It's a really quick read, but it is probably one of the most powerful books I've ever read in my life. And I read it all the time. I read it constantly, at least every quarter. It's just, and I use it actually as part of my curriculum and my university course. But it's a book about how to get the results you want in your life from the perspective of the early 1900s, the late 1800s. It was just a different mindset back then, but based on what is it that actually facilitates success and happiness in our lives. And it's just a really powerful, it's not about getting rich. It's about attracting the abundance that you want in your life. So if anybody hasn't read it, you've got to go back and find that book. I think you can buy it on Amazon for like $2.
Wow. Sounds like an awesome suggestion. And you know, what's funny is The Secret comes out and everybody thinks these are new ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just even look up some quotes from Socrates, Aristotle, you know, you're going to see these concepts are not new ones.
Not at all.
So, okay, this is the most important part of the show. I believe, it's my personal opinion, that if you want to get motivated and you want to act, you should first envision what you want to do, then explore the options, and then execute. So if we were to tell somebody to do what you do, how can they envision this for themselves?
Well, I think the first thing that you need to do is consider the quote, the labor statistic that 60% of Americans are not happy with their jobs. I would argue that there's another 20% that are paid enough money to pretend that they like what they do every day. So let's split the difference. 70%, 7 out of 10 of us are not happy every single day. So ask yourself this question. If you want to envision the future, you say, if you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? Or take a minute and ask yourself, where in my life right now am I not at peace? Where do I feel like I'm not happy, I'm not thriving? And you've got to start there. You've got to explore. There's meaning. There's something that's trying to be told, something that's you're trying to tell yourself in that adversity or in that lack of fulfillment. And the best way is to start there and figure out what it is that's missing. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? That's your purpose, and that's where you need to start your journey.
And I think a really good suggestion, if I could add on to that, Brad, was they can Google the Wheel of Life, because the Wheel of Life is going to give you, there's different worksheets that give you the different categories for your life that you can rate on a scale of 1 to 10. So it might help them narrow that down.
Yep. Okay. Absolutely agree with that.
Okay. So if they are to explore this, now they envision it for themselves, they say, you know what, I'm really not happy in what I'm doing. I'm not fulfilled. And if I considered the idea, if failure was not an option, this is what I'd be doing. So how can they explore next?
The first step of exploration is looking in the mirror. Figure out who you are as a person. You've got to get to know, you've got to explore yourself. There's so much out there. There's resources. If you want to send me a personal email, I can give, I don't know if that's okay, I'll give them my address. I can connect you with the most powerful resource to begin a very, very powerful discovery of who you are as a person. That's exactly where you need to start. And I think you'll find there's so much empowerment and explanation in just understanding a little bit more about who you are and some of those innate traits and innate characteristics about you.
Okay. And we'll make sure to include your email at the end of this episode, as well as in our show notes.
Be great.
So that execution step,
you've already said it, and I completely endorse it, is you've got to find help. You've got to commit to say, you know what, I am going to change my direction right now. I'm going to switch gears. I'm not going to just quit my job and just go and put myself back in the market. But if you know you're not happy in an area of your life, you decide right now that it's enough. That's enough. I'm moving on. I'm changing my course. I don't care what they say. I'm just going to do it. And you've got to find the people around you that can help you, the coaches in your life that can help you understand what you're missing in your strategy to get the results that you want. everybody, just so many people, 80% of us, the 80-20 rule is a perfect example of this. We meet that first or second step of adversity, and or somebody says, that's a horrible idea, what are you thinking? And we allow that to just resonate in us, and it eventually turns us around. And our success is just around the corner. We always quit just a little bit too soon. And so you've got to commit to it. But I think a big part of that, like you said earlier, is finding the coaches in your life, finding those mentors, the support. And it sometimes requires an investment, but you need to find the people that can help you get there, that have been there and that can look objectively at your life and say, this is exactly what's missing. Let me help you open that door.
Now, you've said that you've had a lot of challenges and adversity. You've made a lot of changes. You've tried different directions. Have you regretted any of those changes that you've made?
Not a single one. I mean, I was always at the beginning of my career, I was swinging for a home run. Every time I had an at bat, metaphorically speaking, of course, I swung for the fences. And like I said, I don't regret any one of those at bats. I now know that it's better to hit base hits and just drive runs home. And so to have a bit more of a calculated approach, but I needed to learn some powerful lessons in my life, and I wouldn't change a thing, not a single thing.
That's important. You know, that's important for listeners to know that even though you're not always 100% sure that you're going in the right direction when you go to make a change or add something new to your life, that you usually don't regret doing it.
Yeah.
So what kind of closing advice can you give us today?
I think that the most important closing advice, and perhaps this is just a reiteration of what we've talked about, is you have everybody on this call, everybody within the sound of this podcast has a unique purpose. They have a unique contribution that they can make. And it's up to them to decide if they're embracing that or if they have shied away from that or life has diverted them away from that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what's important is that when you recognize that your greatest calling in life is to find and align with your purpose. That is the purpose of our lives, is to create value, to make a difference, right? To do something with the talents, with the person that you've become. And my advice is to just embrace that. And words couldn't even do justice to the powerful experiences that you will have as you become more and more aligned with your purpose.
I love it. Okay. Can you share your contact information now?
Yes. My website is bradharker.com, bradharker.com. My email address is brad@bradharker.com. Twitter is @BradleyHarker. And you know what? If you go to my homepage at bradharker.com, I've got a link to all my social media, different profiles. But get in touch with me, email me, subscribe to my influence list, and my goal is to be the Library of Congress for all things influence and becoming great. So connect with me and keep in touch for sure.
Well, you look like you're off to a good start, Brad.
It's been a fun ride. I love every minute of it.
Thank you so much for being on our show today. It was great meeting you.
Thank you so much, Lynette. It was great to talk.
I'm just going to add a go-to right now for my listeners. You know, Brad talked about doing a bunch of different things. However, he always brought his person with him. And he's a fighter. You can hear it in his voice. So I would like you listeners to connect to this idea. How you do anything is how you do everything. Go ahead, motivate me, Ultimate Support System. Get on our Facebook group and tell us what you think. Remember, listeners, you motivate me, and I'm Lynette Rendon.